Nigeria, and woke up, and I said, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And so we wrote these words down, and this song is in your insert in your bulletin, and sing along with me as you get the words and the tune. And faithful Lord, we know you are Yahweh of Israel. Faithful Lord, we know you are Allah. Faithful Lord, we know you have chased away Baal. So we sing this song to our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise our voices. Jesus' love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go now and walk in the mercy of God. Faithful Lord, we know you have given us your word. Faithful Lord, we know you're King of kings. Faithful Lord, we know you are Savior and Savior. Oh, we sing this song to our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise your voices to Jesus' love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go now and walk in the mercy of God. Faithful Lord, our eyes look to you for favor. Faithful Lord, our hearts are open wide. Faithful Lord, our heart beats with joy in our Savior. So we sing this song to our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise our voices to Jesus' love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go now and walk in the mercy of God. Faithful Lord, we know you call us to go out. Faithful Lord, we know the gospel roads. Faithful Lord, we know Jesus shines in the shadows. So we sing this song to our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise your voices to Jesus' love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go now and walk in the mercy of God.
The first reading for this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. Because Solomon did not ask for long life, riches, or the defeat of his enemies, God gave him what he asked for, wisdom to govern the people well. In verse 13, God gives his additional honor and riches beyond compare. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 119, verses 126 to 136. And we will read the psalm responsively. You will respond in the bold print. Your decrees are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them with all my heart.
When your word is opened, it gives light.
It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name. Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your teaching. The second reading is from Romans 8, verses 26 to 39. These words celebrate the depths of God's actions for us. Through Christ's death for us and the activity of the Spirit praying for us, we are fused to God's love poured out in Jesus Christ. Nothing, not even death itself, is able to separate us from such incredible divine love. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Thank you, Jean. The Holy Gospel for this, the eighth Sunday after the Pentecost, is written in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus and his disciples proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. Here, Jesus offers several brief parables that explore the implications of this announcement for people's lives. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. This is the green and growing season of Pentecost. It's during this time of the year that our Lord is presented to us in ways that help us understand what Jesus is all about. And right out of the chutes, earlier this spring, you heard the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's began to, or he called his disciples together, and he slowly let them know that there are some risks to proclaiming this gospel, this good news, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that he has been encouraging them to go out and proclaim the gospel. Most of the time, they don't get it. So, a couple weeks ago, Pauline and I had a wonderful time with our family, and we saw the Broadway musical Jesus Christ Superstar. And there's a wonderful scene that gives us a clear example of how clueless the disciples were. So at the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, Jesus is there with his disciples, and he gives them the bread and he gives them the wine. And then there's this conflict that Jesus has with Judas, who betrays him. And Jesus and Judas are going at it like this. But the disciples, they're continuing to have fun. This is a big party. So they're drinking and eating. And so the supper is over, and there's this refrain that keeps repeating itself by the disciples after having had this Last Supper. And it goes like, always thought that I'd be an apostle, knew that I could make it if I tried. Then when we retire, we can write the Gospels and they'll all think about us when we died. Well, this refrain goes on. And when Jesus now is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, these disciples are drunk. And so they always thought that I'd be an apostle. And so Jesus said, could you not stay awake 1 hour? And so it's a sad thing to think that this kingdom of heaven has burst upon us in Christ. And the disciples were really not there for him. So what is this kingdom of heaven that Jesus wants us to know about? First of all, let me say that when we hear this, we think about the kingdom of heaven coming. After we die, we get to go to the kingdom. No, it's not about what's coming. It's what's here. And it's about how you are able to proclaim the kingdom of heaven in the world you live in. God has broken in upon us, and we are agents of God's mercy in God's kingdom. Well,
For Matthew, let's just take one example of the kingdom of heaven from these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man finds, and then he gets so excited, he hides it, he buries it. And then he goes, sells everything he has and buys the field because he knows he's got the treasure. And the one similar to that is the man who's searching for great pearls, and he finds a pearl of great value, and he goes and sells everything he has and purchases it. So these parables were meant to be interpreted. They meant to help us understand God's kingdom. And so in this parable of the treasure and the pearl, with whom do you identify? Now, all of that question depends on your hermeneutic. Your hermeneutic is what they teach pastors about how you understand your view of God. So, depending on your view of God will depend on how you interpret that parable. One way is easy and it's clear, and it's the assumed translation of or interpretation of that parable. Well, of course, I'm the one who bought the field and the pearl of great value because I realize how important that treasure is. The other way of looking at it, if your view of God is that God is the actor and we are the recipients of God's grace, then you become the pearl of great value. You become the treasure. And it's God who has sold everything, including his son who died on the cross, to obtain this priceless joy of your presence in God's kingdom. That's an amazing interpretation of those parables. That God is the actor. And we are the recipients of God's grace. Another parable that just underlines that, and Jesus taught so many parables, is the one that you're all familiar with, the Good Samaritan. You know what happened. The man was going down from Jericho to Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, beaten up, thrown in the ditch, left to die, and three people come by and help him. And the Good Samaritan was the one who stopped. Foreigner. So we often understand that, yes, that's what God wants us to do for other people. We're good Samaritans, so we identify with ourselves with the Good Samaritan. But again, it depends on your view of God. For us, it is God's grace. We are the ones in the ditch, and God has saved us. God has sent Jesus, the Good Samaritan, to lift us out of our troubles. God, the kingdom of heaven, comes to us with good news, saving news. God seeks us out. God turns us around and sends us forth, not on our own way, but on the way of the kingdom, God's way. The kingdom of heaven is God coming down to us to give us new life. Another chance, the beautiful awareness that God in Christ does not forsake us or leave us alone. There's a popular movie going out. Pauline and I love to go to movies. The popular one is Dunkirk, among others, and it's a great World War II movie. But here, the grace of God is seen in an amazing event that occurs on the beaches of Dunkirk in France. 400,000 British troops are stuck, and they are waiting for rescue. But the ships that are rescuing them are being bombed and blown up. And there they are, waiting on the beach as the Germans come. And the planes are strafing them. So the admiral stands on the deck of the deck going out to the ships, and he's got a tear in his eyes and he can't believe it. And then he sees from England, coming across the pond, people who own luxury crafts, their own boats, the people from England are coming to rescue their troops. What an amazing sight. What a gift. God's grace. Again, the kingdom of heaven breaks in with good news and gives us what we never expect. So, a pastor by the name of Reuben Youngdahl used to be a senior pastor at Mount Olivet Lutheran Church way back in the 60s and 70s. Told a story about when our immigrants came from Norway, Sweden, Germany, wherever. They came west and they had to cross the Mississippi River. Well, it was cold and it was, but they had to keep moving. And it was in the winter, and crossing the Mississippi in the winter is a dangerous thing, not knowing if the ice will hold them. And so here's this immigrant farmer, head of the family, going across ahead of his family in their wagon, crawling on his hands and knees, hoping that the ice will hold. And then he looks and he sees a four-horse wagon loaded with coal coming across. And he stands up and he waves his family on. The ice is good. And they move forward. Kingdom of heaven breaks in upon us. It's safe. We can walk. The kingdom of heaven, grace, saving grace, amazing grace. So this kingdom of heaven is something else that you get to proclaim here and now. So in the Lord's Prayer, we pray for the kingdom to come. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now, if you really believe it when you pray, thy kingdom come, and guess what? In God's kingdom, nobody has health care better than somebody else. Your weapons need to be turned into plowshares. Violence is not an option. In this kingdom, your status, your wealth, your privilege, your place in society is lost in the amazing grace of God. In Christ, there is no east or west. In him, no south or north. But one community of love throughout the whole wide earth. We who pray, thy kingdom come, must keep our eyes and our ears open for the hidden treasure, pearl of great value. And what we sacrifice to obtain those great gifts are our sinful nature, our selfish desire to distinguish ourselves, our attempts to move up and have advantage over others. All of this. Our arrogance, our sense of entitlement, all of that is swept away in the scandal, the shocking scandal of the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is this treasure, this cross that transforms us into the most loving, patient, forgiving, inclusive, positive spirited person a church like Bethesda would ever want on their rolls. And so we pray, yes, Lord, thy kingdom come. And then we watch God's mission follow as we, God's servants, proclaim the kingdom. And it happened last night. The corn, beef and corn feed is an example of people doing their part to celebrate the presence of God in our world. So it's all about what you are called to do, what the Spirit prompts you to do as a follower of Jesus, to make visible the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. So I'm going to close with an example of how that happened for me when I was a young pastor working with a bunch of kids who were going to Holden Village. And we were preparing. We were making all sorts of efforts to raise money so we could send the kids to Holden Village. Some were doing car washes. Some were doing candy sales. Some were doing bake sales. So this young lady, Laura, 10th grader, said, "Okay, I'm going to sell candy, Pastor." Good, good. So she was going to sell Pearson's Nut Goodies. And you know, the whole idea was everybody do a little bit and we'll put the money together and we'll put that money down on the bus. And the bus was like $2,800 round trip that time. Ooh, not bad. So what happens? About a month later, Laura comes into my office and she hands down $93. She said, "Here's my part." She raised enough money for her own round trip. She divided up how many kids were going, about 33 kids, and figured out she had to raise $93. But it wasn't her job to raise enough money to spend her. But what a gift. I mean, that was a joy to hear and to see how one person took the responsibility to do her part. So I want to close with a story that Rich Nelson told at Romeo's last Thursday. This story elevates for me the incredible dignity and positive regard that God has for each one of us. We are God's treasure, God's pearl of great value. So Rich says, "Yeah, you know, this farmer was working his field and he was doing a good job. And came spring, and the new pastor had come to town, and the pastor was kind of going out to meet the people, and so he went over to visit the farmer, and they were sitting down having a cup of coffee, and the pastor was saying, 'You know, God gave you this amazing field, and look what you have done. This is, look at the crops coming up, the corn was coming up,' and the pastor said, 'Yeah, Pastor, you should have seen it when he tried to do it on his own.'" What a humble sense of, God gave me something to do here, and I'm going to do it. And that's what it's all about. God engages us with the kingdom of heaven and asks us to do our part. But God has come to us, and we get to go on God's behalf. Amen.